Welcome to the Talent Development Hot Seat Podcast, the number one podcast for learning and talent development professionals.
Our people are our most important asset in our company. And you know, and the data still tells you, they go to companies because of the opportunity and the career playground and the people they work for. But they also leave if you don't match that expectation. And I think it's my responsibility linked to our credo to really unlock that full potential of every person. And shame on me if we don't enable that to the best that we can.
Now here's your host, Andy Storch.
Welcome to the Talent Development Hot Seat Podcast. I am your host, Andy Storch, and I'm excited that you are joining me today for another great episode and conversation to help you up your game and improve your capabilities in the world of talent development. And I've got a good one for you today. My guest is a chief learning officer of a massive organization who has been at the forefront of a movement to create more talent mobility, more transparency in the career development process, and a very robust talent marketplace built on a tech stack that allows people to build the skills and find where they want to go in their careers. It's a really impressive journey, and I'm excited to share it with you today. My guest is Sandra Humbles, who is the Chief Learning Officer at Johnson & Johnson, or J&J, where she has worked for over 34 years now. And Sandra started in science and has worked in multiple roles in marketing and sales and different parts of the business before moving into HR a few years back when she got the call from the head of talent management who asked her, "Are you ready to come join me on a journey to transform our organization and fulfill our dream of unlocking everyone's full talent potential?" And Sandra jumped on the opportunity and has been working on that mission ever since with her team. Again, they've built out a very robust talent marketplace, and I was excited to dig into that with her today. We also talk a little bit about her background in education, how having jobs in marketing and sales and strategic planning has been helpful for her, how what they learned from surveying the landscape and the four challenges that they decided to address, walking through the transformation of what they did at J&J, the four key findings from their learning as they went through this transformation, and how they set up and built this talent development ecosystem and talent marketplace that I think you'll find is very impressive, as well as how they encouraged and got managers to lead more career conversations, more one-on-ones, and how they achieved really high adoption with many, many thousands of employees using their platform on a regular basis. I hope you really enjoy it. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Sandra Humbles, CLO of J&J. All right. I'm joined now by Sandra Humbles, who's Chief Learning Officer of Johnson & Johnson, J&J. Sandra, welcome to the podcast.
I'm just so glad to be with you, Andy, and can't wait for this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about this for many reasons. I mean, it's always lovely to have a CLO from a major company like J&J to share and how you're navigating the learning landscape and the things that you're thinking about. I know J&J is a very innovative company and on the sort of the forefront of looking at how to, you know, utilize technology and give people the tools they need to advance in their careers. But I know you've also done a lot of work to enhance talent mobility, create a robust talent marketplace. I personally am, you know, very passionate about helping people with their careers. So I'm excited to get into that conversation. But I'd love to start with your background because I think you have an interesting background and a rarity these days is someone who spent their entire career with just one company.
That's right. And yeah, really, really proud. So at a very young age, I had a passion for science and I went to university to study microbiology and virology. And so as I graduated, I moved straight into healthcare. And actually, it was the other company that I worked for to start with, which was in the HIV space. Hmm. So I was very early on in, you know, HIV research, you know, building diagnostic kits for early diagnosis to help people, you know, be really safe. And, you know, literally we then saw, you know, what happened to many people with AIDS. And, you know, I was just so thankful that I could make a contribution and help some. But, you know, after doing something like that, you want to have more impact. And, you know, at the time, that company wasn't the place where I thought I could grow. And so I went and did something crazy. I left the healthcare field for a moment and went and spent 6 months just selling advertising space, which was a little crazy. And I have to say, after about month five, I'm like, what did I do? And then it was literally by chance, as I was looking for, hot leads for the advertising, I saw a job for J&J, and I looked at it and I went, they need people with a little bit of sales experience. They want people with a science background and already had a little bit of people leadership experience. And I went, this looks like it was written for me. So, you know, fast forward, obviously got into Johnson & Johnson and now privileged to be there 34 years, 10 years out in the UK and Europe in various sales, marketing, sales training roles. And then you get that one big call going, Sandra, we would love you to move to the United States to head up one of our businesses in marketing. And you can imagine that is a big decision. And I'm talking over 24 years ago, you know, my husband followed me out to the United States and I've now been here literally 24 years. I can't believe it. It's just gone so quick. And sort of that pattern of a few really creative jobs in, you know, head of marketing. Then I, you know, actually was a general manager for a business. I did some strategic planning and strategy work, you know, worked for a company group chair, shaping the future vision of the company. And, you know, then, you know, my passion really started to kick in. And that piece about, you know, giving back and helping people to unlock their potential. And that's when I moved more into deep, deep education, whether that was in sales training or medical education. And then, so I spent, you know, literally 30 odd years of my career in the business. And then something strange happened. And, you know, a BUHR leader I'd worked with long ago was now in the head of talent management. And he said, Sandra, you know, you and I talked about, you know, 10 years ago about doing a massive transformation at J&J, and now is the time. Would you come and join me to be, you know, the first CLO of J&J and now do that massive transformation and what we need to do for the future of work and unlock the full potential of our people? And that conversation was not long. It was a very quick yes. And now I've had the privilege, and I can't believe it, I've now been in this job nearly 3 years and, you know, literally transforming, you know, how we think about learning and development and career navigation at Johnson & Johnson.
What an amazing career that you've had so far. And people come from all kinds of different backgrounds doing different things. I find that most CLOs I talk with come from more of a traditional learning background, come up through the L&D space. You came from the business, marketing, and sales. I'm wondering, what advantages do you feel like that has given you, helped you with, and what challenges has that created for you?
Yeah, you know, that's a really, really good question, Andy. And I reflect on that a lot. You know, I mean, obviously, number one, I have laser focus on the business needs. You know, everything we do in HR and learning and development is to help the business and our people be better. So I have that lens and huge connectivity with, you know, the most senior business leaders in J&J. I think the second piece, you know, is when you're looking at doing transformations, your marketing capability. So think about, you know, how you position things, how you market things, all your message maps and communication plan is probably the number one success factor. And I think, again, having led marketing teams, that played really, really well. But yeah, then I'm also a very humble person and know where my limitations are. So I think the other piece is then just making sure I put the strong team around me that has those skills that I really needed. And that was definitely a part of the journey here. But I look back and start to see some of the trending in our space. We are seeing more and more business leaders actually transitioning into these roles because of the technology transformation. And I just came out of an amazing, Workforce of the Future event. And they said, there's 3 things you really need to think about as you're, you know, the CLO of the future. And one of the 3 was your marketing skill set. And I'm like, well, sort of, yeah, maybe I was ahead of that one a little bit, that I moved in early and brought that to the table. And it has served us extremely well over the last few years.
Yeah, I learned that from a friend of mine, Jen Collins, who was on this podcast a while back. She came from a marketing background and then moved into an L&D role and then was helping other people in L&D think through the marketing aspect, which is an important factor because it's great to create wonderful learning programs. But if you don't know how to get it in front of the right people, then it doesn't really matter.
You know, one of our issues was, you know, as I moved into this role, we had 124 learning organizations. That meant we had, you know, disparate, you know, technology ecosystems. You know, obviously we had learning content all over the place. This was, you know, just as we're coming into, you know, into COVID. And I'll never forget, I went and looked in our learning libraries across the whole of J&J, and I think I had 50 resilience training courses, all different. Yeah. Now, here was the fun side. I needed to take all 50, Andy, for the next 3 years ahead of me. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, that was the magnitude where you had sort of duplication. And that was part of the piece, you know, simplification, making things easy, making sure if something is mission critical for J&J, that is what people, you know, get to see and not the noise of everything else around them. So, you know, a big piece of this was, you know, around looking at how each of the learning teams were working. We're a strongly federated model. Mm-hmm. And we set standards and guidelines. And, you know, even though I don't have direct control of all learning leaders around J&J, they all are now under the master brand of J&J Learn. And we're all connected. And the why right in that is we put the employee right at the center. Yeah. So it doesn't matter whether the training was coming from, you know, our leadership area, or our quality area, or the business area. At the end of the day, that employee needed that, you know, that training and education. And so we put them right at the center. And that was, again, one of our, you know, guiding principles as we move forward in this transformation.
Yeah, I would imagine that that was a rather challenging undertaking, but one that needs to be done because you've got all these different learning centers doing great work. But if many of them are doing the same things or creating the same things, then obviously you have a lot of redundancies there that could be figured out. You could use that time better in different ways.
Yeah. And, you know, this was the, you know, as we started, we obviously did a lot of interviews, right? We went on the listening tours and made sure we understand the biggest challenges we were, you know, facing in J&J in terms of people capability. And, you know, four things really rose to the top. And there's probably no surprise, you know, leadership, you know, during COVID and coming out of COVID, all around well-being, D&I and inclusion, and then obviously the big one, digital upskilling of the entire population, both for workforce productivity, innovation, future product, you know, you can you name it, it's in that digital realm. And so, you know, the team that works directly, you know, with me are really laser focused in those four areas on things that are common to you know, more than just one group. And that's where we got the scale and the traction. So, you know, it made us just much more nimble, right? You know, when there was a, you know, big problem coming down, we could take it on, work with all the right people, and then get something out to, you know, 135,000 people, you know, within a very, very short, you know, period of time.
Right. Wow. Impressive. Okay. So I want to go back to this conversation you had with the head of talent management about this dream of transformation and unlocking people's full potential, which is a pretty audacious and ambitious dream. And I know that your team's been doing a lot of work to make that happen over the last 3 years. So walk us through, you know, what were the goals and what does that work look like over the last 3 years?
Yeah, I can tell you, you know, so it started 15 years ago and Michael, my boss, still has the whiteboard picture of what we drew on a board 15 years ago. And, you know, now we're sat here, I'll go, okay, we've now executed. But yeah, let me share a little bit. So we had this, you know, this whole view that things, you know, we had 124 learning organizations. We knew the ecosystem just was not working. So obviously we started with a huge deep dive on data and insights. And there really was four key thought processes and really driven from one key metric. And you know, the metric that was really upsetting to me, you know, as I say, I breathe J&J, and it was the My Development Score, and that was particularly low. And when you dissected, you know, why that was, it was the lack of transparency to careers at Johnson & Johnson, And even if you had transparency and opportunities you knew about, you were not clear on the skills that were required and experiences, and then how you matched up to that and any strategic gaps. So you can imagine, you know, including myself, you know, I started in York in England, navigating your way through, you know, Johnson & Johnson. It was like a minefield. And, you know, it required, you know, navigation, upskilling, taking extra work, you know, it was really choppy. And so, you know, the problem that we were looking at was, you know, how do we gain complete transparency to careers at J&J or the career playground? And then how do we link everything learning and development to that? And, you know, at that point, they were, you know, both in very different places. So then we went and did the deep dive, you know, on all what was going on. And as I mentioned, the four key findings were obviously we didn't have one person who gets up every day thinking about this, i.e. we needed a chief learning officer. Number two was when we looked at our, you know, vendor population. I mean, we had thousands of vendors all over the place, and they weren't always strategic. And so there was a big vendor procurement piece that we needed to look after. We then looked at the technology ecosystem, and at best, we were probably below the midpoint on investment there, and also how it was working. And the technology wasn't quite ready, and that rapidly accelerated. And then the fourth one is, you know, was the other one I mentioned, that people were really in a place that really mattered, which was our leadership curriculums. You saw a lot of, you know, outside companies coming in talking about leadership. And we are very, very, you know, careful in how we think about that with our credo, our leadership model, and obviously, you know, about being a, you know, a caring, inclusive, and a learning company. And so that bit was a little off in terms of, you know, how much spend was not being you know, used from the center. So those were then the areas that we tackled. And even before I came into, you know, into role, as we were working through that, we started our technology work stream fast, because without the technology, this was going to be really, really difficult. So literally, we got on the journey, we built an amazing business case. And, you know, we started the project in January. The business case was finished within about 90 days ish. And then obviously all the approvals, the investment, the appointment, and then off to the races we were. So it was literally, you know, a really rapid sprint to say, this is something that we need to do, and we need to do it now. And now the rest is history.
Well, it's sort of, as you're going through all of this, I mean, these are massive changes, major investments for the company, catching up with different things. And it sounded like the kind of overarching guiding light was this concept of unlocking people's full potential. How did you think about, like, what did that mean to the team? Like, what did you keep going back to when you have all these big decisions to make?
Yeah, you know, you've got to democratize, right? And it's the simplest way of saying it. You know, we looked at, you know, where our spend is, and there was a population who got a lot, and then there was a group who didn't get as much, right? And you went, that doesn't feel quite right. And so, you know, our whole mantra is we have to democratize a large part of our portfolio. And, it, and you know, you were starting to see it. And, I'll use examples. I think our consumer life has showed us how digital can just unlock unwavering opportunity. And as I say, I don't want to say Amazon and Netflix are my, you know, two of my favorite, but Amazon knows me better than I know myself now. And Netflix equally so. You know, I just turn it on and I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch it, right? It's usually in the top two picks.
Yeah.
And we're like, that philosophy, if J&J knew who I was as well as Amazon and Netflix, can you imagine when I switch my computer on, it's going to tell me what's trending, what's important, what are my peers all looking at, and why can't we have that for all employees? So when we designed the connection of our, you know, total tech stack, it was for all employees. And so it wasn't even a question. So as we went into our MVP, we launched it for HR, literally, in April. And by July, we switched it on for the whole of the organization, 135,000 employees. So we rapidly went from the test pilot to get our HR colleagues moving fast And then to help and support the businesses, we, you know, turned it all on. And then in July, we went big and bold. And also this was part of the changing philosophy, because normally we would do everything in waterfall to perfection. I'd probably still be waiting if we'd use the waterfall methodology. Mm. And so we just went to minimal viable product, agility, test and learn, iterate, have the right team behind to be able to move. And, you know, as I say, I sit here, you know, 2 years after really all the digital connections were put in place, and we have a live working ecosystem that people are now coming into. You know, our utilization is very, very high. Mm. And then in January, the magic got turned on with career journeys. And obviously, we can talk about that in a second. But yeah. It was that it was the mindset of, we've got to make things available to all. So if you're anybody in J&J right now, you can go into our learn ecosystem and you can skill up on Gen AI. And then inside our firewall of J&J, we have our own environment. And so you can be learning how to prompt engineer and using prompt engineering now in J&J in a very short period of time.
Yeah, I love that. That's pretty cool. You mentioned that there was a lack of transparency before into careers at J&J, and that's one of the challenges you wanted to solve. And I know that you've done that with what you've created with the talent marketplace. Before we even get there, can you talk about the importance of talent mobility and how you wanted to provide more options for people to be able to move within the organization?
Yeah, you know, and it's, you know, as you know, this is a really tricky conversation, right? Because you've got, you know, functions, you've got, you know, sectors, you've got deep clinical knowledge, you've got, you know, supply chain. I mean, we have the, you know, we're a fully integrated, you know, healthcare company with all those jobs. And the, you know, the ability, so let's use a great, you know, example. If you are a really strong project manager, you know, you could be working in a HR function on, you know, on a transformation, on my transformation, but you could then go and do a very big transformation in a business. But the leader who is maybe hiring for that in the business wouldn't know I have one of the best project managers in my group. It was just invisible. And, you know, Workday and some of our other tools help us to a degree of having a talent card, and you can do searches, but it didn't have the level of specificity of every single employee in J&J. And this is where you get to massive scale of personalization, better data, and then obviously you can start doing nudges and pushes to people in a very easy way, because you now know what they're interested in. And so, you know, I have a brilliant partner. I would never take credit for all this work, because it really did take an army. And my colleague who sits in decision science started to own and move to a skills-based strategy for Johnson & Johnson, and how that comes together with skills and experiences. And she built with her team the overarching framework of how we would move. Now, once they did that, I know the next question you say, well, Sandra, you know, you're going to need a really good skills ontology. Yeah. And we went and found the best entrepreneurial company that was ahead of the game to get us moving fast. And that company has served us extremely well, because we went from a concept to launch in a very, very short period of time. And the skills ontology is really strong. Now, by turning that on first, that allowed me to put the employee in the center about what you care about, your personal values, your career engagers, your skill set, and the skills that you have today and the skills you would like to grow, and your career aspiration. Do you want to be an expert? Do you want to sit in a function for your career, or do you want to be an enterprise leader? That data has been now getting stronger and stronger and stronger for nearly 2 years. So that's the gold dust. The front engine really got moving. The bit where it got tricky was then our global job architecture. So all the jobs in J&J, they literally, we had a job catalog that had not changed that much. And it was more built for total rewards than it was for all of this other personalized at scale work. And so I had then another amazing colleague who then worked on rebooting our whole global job architecture, and looking at all of our jobs and linking skills. As soon as that work was done, we could then turn on personalized career discovery experiences. And that's what happened in January.
That's fantastic. So talent mobility increases, the transparency increases, and now you have created this marketplace where people can see what types of roles are available, what types of skills will be needed. So can you talk about the technology behind that? I know a lot of companies are trying to figure this out. There's certainly different tech providers that you could go with. You know, how did you think about evaluating that and figuring out how to build this?
You know, Andy, I think that's going to be the hardest one. I mean, it is this, the whole tech marketplace is just changing by the day. So I'm not even going to answer who we use because it's evolving. I mean, it's literally every day it's moving so fast. Now you've got to, and again, we did make some really good calls on our front end intelligence and, discovery type, front end. And then being a healthcare company, which I'm very comfortable because we, obviously we need a really strong LMS for compliance. So we linked this really innovative company with our base LMS and got that connected. And then obviously, our Workday solution sits underneath it as the talent record. So, you sort of say, well, criticality of people to help you, my CIO and also all of his HR tech team were absolutely critical to ensure all the plumbing was correct. But, if I was to sit here and say, we are going to stay exactly where we are. As I say, some of the bigger companies are getting much more innovative. They took longer to get their act together, but it's coming. I think to really unlock the internal and external marketplace, you've got to have a really good tech stack there. And that may, require shifts in, how we think about it. And to be honest, I wish I didn't have to worry about the tech stack. I should be worrying about the business requirements and what am I trying to do and the employee experience. And then all the people behind me are doing that work. And that's actually where we nearly are that, I've got out of the game of worrying about, hey, can I do this from here to here? Because now as we turned on that whole career discovery, so, let me make sure you understand what that means. So when Sandra goes into J&J Learn now, I just click on my name, and because my profile and my reflection exercises are all done, it tells me all the jobs at my existing level and the jobs that could be promotional opportunities within J&J. I can click on any of them and see how my skills match to that job profile. And then I can pick a skill. Let's use Gen AI as an example. I can click on Gen AI and say, I am at the awareness level and I want to, I want to skill up, click on that. And then I get a plethora of the learning content. I get access to experts and mentors. And then once I've started to skill up, there will be development gigs. So, 10% of my time, 20% of my time on certain projects to now apply that knowledge I've learned. So we're getting very intentional about, how we connect people. And it's really about that skilling up in what really matters. And then also ensuring as we make our whole population more fluid and more agile, these development experiences are, 10, 20% of the time often then result in somebody skilling up and finding, their next career path and, then they'll move on. So, I don't think we're as advanced as some companies on complete talent mobility. And that's, if they've gone to complete agile working and, if I went and, asked my CIO, he will tell us he's gone to that model in IT and they've been ahead of the game. But if you go to other areas, we're not quite there yet. So we've got a hybrid workforce now. And, what we are seeing is more and more people really enjoy doing those short-term gigs, 10, 20% of the time for 6 months. They get an opportunity to work with somebody who can really help them develop more rapidly. And we still know people learn more by doing. And so, you know, we've really created that ecosystem and connection that allows that to happen.
Mm. I know you've had a really high adoption rate of this, which you got to be proud of, because it's like we said earlier, it's great to put all this stuff together, but if people don't use it, it doesn't really matter. So you can talk about what that's looked like and how you have, you know, using your marketing background and many other tools and skills, like how you got people on here using the marketplace. Yeah.
So, you know, when we started, and you can imagine you bring up a whole new capability and your shared services team are not quite ready to give you really good metrics. And so we have a real strategist on our metrics capability that reports into my own organization. So they're leading, you know, how are we going to show impact? You know, what does this all look like? Mm. So very rapidly, and I'm talking nearly a few weeks post-launch, I could start to see the metrics of literally the first thing we did is look at, you know, how many people are going in and how many people are coming back and what are they doing? You know, after 2.5 years of watching all of that, you can imagine the data I now have. So, and particularly, you know, as I explained, when now people are thinking, you know, linking skill to development, we can see all those interactions. Therefore, I can now look at the data across Johnson & Johnson and tell you the number one trending skill that people want to learn. I can then tell you how they are participating in all of the experience. And are we then going back in and looking at the assessment of the skills and changing proficiency level? As we turned on career journeys in January, I can also now start to see at the J&J level and at the leader level, the most popular jobs that people would love to aspire to be in. So we have really, really good adoption metrics. And, you know, that is not where we want to be, as you imagine. But I can see everything going on literally nearly real time, which is amazing. So then we started going, well, now we've got the data. Let's now start to look for some directional correlations. And we can already tell you that, and we're linking all of that to my decision science team strategy of workforce DNA. So our data gets all connected with everything else. And so we can already start to see those that are skilling up are more likely to move into new roles and they are more likely to stay at J&J. And so remember, and this is why I say I sit here with the happiest, smiliest face ever. Our value proposition is we would unlock the potential of our people and they would have great careers at J&J. And I can already tell you after 3 years, and unlocking this only 6 months ago, right? Not even that. You can start to see that all starting to trend.
That's fantastic. I want to talk about the sort of mindset side, the support from managers, because I know you've also done a lot of work to encourage more career conversations. It's great to see what's possible, but people still need to have support from their manager. They need to be having those conversations. So those are really important as well. Can you talk about that side?
Yeah, that was the other, you know, again, my marketing background, right? You know, is how do you integrate everything we're doing into the normal processes that are 100% deployed in J&J? And no surprise why I sit in talent management. We look to all of our talent management processes and particularly, you know, our performance management, which is obviously linked to also development. And so 5 times a year, we have different conversations, sort of, I'm not going to use the word mandate, but they are 5 curated type conversations. And we plug straight in there. And so at the beginning of the year, as you're setting your goals and objectives for, you know, your business and your what goals, you're also having that first development conversation through the art of the reflection and credo, you know, all the insights I've shared. We then, and we're coming up to that really strong. So I'm really looking forward to May and June because that's when we unlock the biggest piece of this. And it's the mid-year conversation is a reflection on, you know, how you're doing against your goals. But the bigger conversation is all about career conversation. And so, you know, one of the amazing assets that you get now with using our J&J Learn Discover platform is a leader gets a, you know, the best way I can say it is a a 15-page insight on their employee and has just masterful questions for the leader to be able to have with their employees. So it's giving them help. If you're not naturally good at this, we have the cheat sheet for them. So, you go in and, it's giving you, curated questions basically to have that really deep, meaningful conversation at the end of it. And, this is going to be the art, because I could either have that in front of me, or I could have my two screens like here, and I could have their whole visualization in front of me, sharing it with them. So a digital sort of interaction here, if we are with our remote employees, it's actually the best way of doing it. And literally, you can go into this and you can talk about where they have seen themselves as expert skills, or where they see themselves not doing as well, and literally calibrating, right? Hang on a minute, let's just talk about, strategic thinking. You were just working on that project. Let's discuss it. What part of that job did you do? Who else was helping you? What does that look like? That strategic framework was extremely well done. I'm not sure you're at the awareness level. I think I'm now, you are now demonstrating you are at that next level of skill. And in the system and in the moment, you can change and reassess with your leader. And so the magic just, as I say, it's exactly like Amazon and Netflix. The more you're interacting and the more the leader is with their employee team, literally the intelligence goes up and what comes back gets stronger and stronger and stronger. When you get to the end of that conversation, you can literally open up the career journeys that an employee has selected and discuss the whole journey that they want to go on. The only piece that is still manual, and I will have this fixed by the time I talk to you next time, the only piece that is manual, when the leader finishes that conversation, they still need to put the potential targeted next job into Workday as the talent record. So we don't want to lose the rigor of that. And eventually, you can imagine, we'll have that all connected. But it's the only piece now that, as a people leader, you have to think about. And actually, it's a really good reflection moment. So the way we're encouraging everybody to do it this year is you have the conversation. The employee goes away so happy because you've had the best conversation. 15 minutes after you finish, go into your computer, update 3 fields, you're done. That's it.
This is great. Can you share some of the numbers around what you've seen regarding adoption and like the uptake and career conversations, things like that? I remember you shared some of those with me before and they were impressive.
So remember, let's give you, a few of the numbers. I mentioned we have 135,000 employees in J&J. Half of them are on the shop floor. So I'm going to discount. So, my probable targeted everyday group is around 75,000. Of those, I have 68,000 completely participating in the ecosystem. So they have come in, started to do reflections, or they're in the learning side already partaking. So we are at a very high, interaction with most of our employee base. We turned on career journeys, soft launch for people to experiment. And right now we're in around that 20,000 mark. May, June, critical. So I'm expecting by the time I get to July, we will be probably over 50,000 people with a targeted job, a career journey already mapped. And as I say, then I can see which areas are struggling and we'll go in and help them. My team is spending a lot of time, and I mentioned this in the start, marketing, change management. I was on a couple of, really big webinars yesterday. Navigating, real time in the system, showing people this is what you can do. And then, just maybe back to what you asked me a few minutes ago around the leader's responsibility. I mean, that's where I have to play a big role. I own leadership development with my team, and we will start to infuse all of this into our foundational leadership programs, into our coaching areas, so that people can really see the tools that we have. And so, I don't know, Andy, I think the next couple of years, it's all about institutionalization and then new content experiences But, you know, I don't want to say all the hard work's done, but a big piece of the hard work is actually done now. And now we can, you know, tinker and play and really go to make sure we get to complete adoption.
Yeah.
And that will then do what you asked me. Because if I, you know, I'd love to hear from, you know, some other people of, have you really unlocked all the potential of every single employee in your organization? Because we're not quite there yet, right? We've still got supply chain. I don't know whether anyone has done the whole thing yet, but we are going to be there by next year for the whole population.
That's impressive. We may have to reconnect next year and confirm. So as we wrap this up, Sandra, we've got a lot of people in talent development, learning and development, listening, many starting their own journeys to unlocking more of their people's potential, creating more talent mobility, thinking about building a talent marketplace. Any other important lessons you learned or advice you would give to someone that's just kind of starting this journey for their team?
Yeah. One thing we did not talk about, and this was a gift. You know, we got a new CEO a couple of years ago, and he came in and did all of his work and listening tour. And I will never forget it. You know, as he started to talk about, you know, the company he wanted J&J to be, he just used three words. And those three words were care, learn, and include, right? And that was the biggest gift a CLO can ever be given, is when your CEO wants you to be a learning culture. And he wants it every day, right? You know, be curious, you know, how many learning moments a day are you having, right? I mean, he wants this just to be in our whole DNA. And so that was the gift of that very senior leadership cover. And actually last year, you know, we had our first ever Global Learning Day for all employees at J&J. And, you know, Joaquin built the channel with us, right? He wanted to be front and center. And, you know, obviously, you know, spoiler alert, he will be very participative throughout the back end of this year on some other really cool initiatives we're doing with him. So I have the top of the house really supportive of creating this culture and creating the space. And then I'm going to do a massive and. My CHRO and my boss, Michael, who obviously works, you know, very closely with our CHRO and our CIO, all hand in hand. So I have the perfect triangle of the CEO, the CHRO, and CIO. And it's a gift. It's a blessing. And so my advice is, you've got to make sure you've got that executive sponsorship and support. Because I will tell you, and I was joking earlier in this, and maybe it's, you know, it's the fun part of me, you know, there's 50 resilience courses. I joked about it. But you have to have resilience and tenacity to do this type of stuff, because you're going to get told no a lot. And you've got to come back, pick yourself up and figure out the path forward. And, you know, as I say, on a really bad day, I know if I called Peter or Jim or Joaquin, they would be there to help us and remove those barriers. So, you know, my advice is, make sure you've got those people who are in your corner on a really bad day can help you to strategize, remove a barrier, and push forward, because our world is changing. Digital in our learning and development environment is critical. Our people are our most important assets in our company. And you know, and the data still tells you, they go to companies because of the opportunity and the career playground and the people they work for, but they also leave if you don't match that expectation.
Right.
And I think it's my responsibility, linked to our credo, to really unlock that full potential of every person. And shame on me if we don't enable that to the best that we can.
Oh, Sandra, this whole thing, very impressed with everything that you and your team have built. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing all of this for our listeners. Like I said, I know we have many on this journey of creating more talent mobility, unlocking the potential of their people, you know, building more of a skills-based workforce. This is where so many companies and learning teams are going. So really appreciate you coming to share all of this on the podcast, and wish you the best of luck with the future endeavors.
Yeah, can't wait to give you the results next year. Hey, take care, Andy. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk more then. And hang on, because we've got a bonus Q&A to record as well. For everybody listening, thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, that will do it for my conversation with Sandra Humbles, Chief Learning Officer of Johnson & Johnson. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. You know, I am someone who's very passionate about career development and helping support people with their careers. And I think about successful career development involving three key pillars. And the first one is organizations providing the tools and the pathways for people to be successful. And sounds like J&J is doing that in a really robust way. The second one is managers supporting their people in being able to find and grow opportunities and grow in their career. And it sounds like they are really developing their leaders to be able to do that as well. And then the third one is for employees to actually take ownership of their careers to get clarity and get proactive and know where they need to go. And that's where I often come in and help organizations. So if that's something you're looking for help with, reach out to me, let me know. My email is andy@andystorch.com. Of course, you can reach out and follow Sandra with the work that she has been doing there at J&J. I know I'll be looking forward to keeping in touch and seeing where things go in the next year. Also want to remind you, this podcast is sponsored by the Talent Development Think Tank Conference and Community. We have a robust membership community that we've been running for over 4 years now with over 100 members who connect and talk and share on a regular basis. We bring in guest speakers like Sandra and others to come talk to our community. And we have a conference coming up in November, November 6th and 7th in Orlando, Florida. You can find all the information on our website at tdtt.us. That's tdtt.us. And when you sign up for the community or the conference, you can use the code HOTSEAT to get 10% off. That's HOTSEAT to get 10% off. All right. Thank you again for listening. I hope that you will take your knowledge and put something into action this week. Action does create momentum. And I hope that you'll also take a moment to just write down some gratitude for all the great things you have going on for you and your career and life. Take care.